In this episode of Movie Rollers, we're going to talk about the smaller independent movie, Sleepwalk With Me. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well. Hello.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. So we're going to try and record an episode in somewhat record time. I know, Yazdi, you've got an appointment to make, so we'll try and be quick here.
Only because we want Yazdi to be on time, more than Yazdi wants to be on time.
For once in his life, yes.
See, Rashmi can't help but schedule people.
I can't help it.
She's getting high blood pressure here, Yazdi.
I am. Look at my body language.
Because you might be late. Imagine what it's like living with this.
Everybody should speak what they want. You know, don't hold back because we have to finish up on time.
Anyway, let's talk about the movie Sleepwalk With Me. I'll give you a little bit of background. Sleepwalk With Me is the story of a man, Matt, who's going through what I think of as an early midlife crisis. He's trying to make sense of the world, his future, his relationships, his stalled career as a stand-up comedian. You get the picture. Clearly, this work is inspired autobiographically by writer-director Mike Birbiglia. He did a one-man stage show of the same name. And to explain the movie's title a little, the protagonist, as well as the director, also suffers from occasional bouts of sleepwalking. Stars Matt Birbiglia and Lauren Ambrose and a cast of other actors with smaller roles, but I'll just leave it with the two main. So, Yazdi, what do you think of Sleepwalk With Me?
So, I'm very pleasantly surprised by what seems to be an ongoing trend. Maybe it's just the way these movies have been released, but this is now the fourth movie that I'm seeing, which has been written, directed, and lead acted by the same person. It's some person who just said, I'm going to write my own story, I'm going to direct it, and I'm going to play the main lead, and here is my story. And for me, that's a direction in an infinitely correct, path. I mean, I think this is what more actors should be doing, more filmmakers should be doing, and this movie is probably the best example of that. Here is this person that I'd never heard about, Mike Birbiglia, who has been on NPR before, very often on the program This American Life, talking about these experiences, about, trying to become a stand-up comedian, dealing with his parents, dealing with his girlfriend, and suddenly realizing he has the sleepwalking disorder. And he's made a whole movie out of it, and it should not work, and it should, it should seem indulgent, and it should be annoying, and it should be boring. But it's none of those things. And I think everything depends on whether you buy the central character or not. I think this is a very high level of difficulty, but I bought the central character. I bought the whole story of the movie. It speaks to what's right now.
Yeah, I think this is a sweet, sweet, funny film about someone we all know well. It's simple and it's focused and it does the job it sets out to do very well. I think, like you said, Yazdi, it works because Mike Birbiglia is such a natural and likable, although slappable character. And this is semi-autobiographical, so it feels very authentic and heartfelt. But yeah, I love the fact that this is yet another DIY movie and we keep seeing these.
I like this one a lot too. I mean, it has a very relaxed style and it's clearly framed around this monologue, which I guess comes from the stage show of the same name. But this monologue kind of runs its course right from the get-go and all the way through to the conclusion. Sometimes there's voiceover, sometimes there's cutbacks. I did think the movie relied on that a little too heavily, but in a way that made the film quite original because I can't think of anything else that has used that. I mean, perhaps it does, perhaps it didn't. This was just very comfortable to watch. It felt like we were hanging out with the main guy, Matt, two are interchangeable, it's the same actor-director. But he was such a nice guy. I was emotionally invested in him from the get-go and all I wanted to do was hang out with him and I felt like I got to do that for an hour and a half.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is, you're right, from the get-go, it uses these devices, which usually are like poison in a movie, You never turn to the camera and start talking to them. You don't do a voiceover. These are things which kills movies. But I think it's because this character is so real, and also because he's genuinely likable and genuinely talented. I mean, funny is difficult to do, but right from the very first few words that he utters, he is funny, not in a ha-ha funny kind of way, but, you know, you care about his perspective and what he has to say about life. And so these things which shouldn't work actually land up working. And I also like that he doesn't shy from the disagreeable parts of his personality. I mean, this is a pretty schlubby character. And yeah, he's funny, but, you know, he's kind of stuck in inertia. And he makes some phenomenally bad decisions when it comes to his love life. And I suspect, you know, with the advantage of being away from when these events transpired, you know, he regrets a lot of what happened. But he never tries to sugarcoat his own character. His character, you know, demonstrates all the contradictions that real human beings do. So I think he brings a richness to it by being honest.
Yeah, and I think, you know, good comedy, like you said, is hard to do, but the best comedies are those, unfortunately, which are self-deprecating, and he certainly doesn't pull any punches. He's very self-deprecating throughout the movie. But I think in addition to him, everything just works. The casting is good, the pacing is good, the acting from all of the supporting cast, especially Lauren Ambrose, is just wonderful to watch. And I think it felt very... Again, I'll say it, real and authentic, and the dialogue was good and funny. But more than anything, it felt very real.
Yeah, and I think in some ways where that has come from is, again, I keep going back to the fact that he adapted this movie from what was a one-man stage show. So I think over the time that he's been doing this, he's really gotten to figure out what works with audiences, what doesn't work with audiences. And we actually go on part of that journey with him as he tries to figure out, is there a career in comedy, in stand-up for him? And I think he puts all of that out there for us to see in the movie, which makes it incredibly relatable.
Yeah, and I also like that the main conceit of the movie, the one thing which sets the story apart from 100 other stories we've seen like this before, is the sleepwalking component. And I like that the movie does not make a huge big deal about it. Actually, at the end of the day, the movie isn't really about his sleepwalking. It really is. It's one facet of his personality. And I like that it's underplayed. And, you know, they could have made a big deal out of it and made big dramatic tension.
So glad you brought that up.
I absolutely agree. And I think that it's used so efficiently, but really to demonstrate his anxiety with life, as opposed to the sleepwalking itself, because it would be easy to make this a very gimmicky movie, but I love how it's just used judiciously.
Yeah. Can we also speak about Lauren Ambrose? I mean, yeah. Again, Hollywood, come on, give her a chance. I mean, she never fails. I haven't seen her in a bad movie. I've never seen her do anything bad. I mean, last year at Toronto, I saw her in a movie called Think of Me. It's one of the darkest, most heartbreaking movies you'll ever see, about a woman who does something horrible that you would never forgive a woman for doing. And she completely brings it home. And, you know, it's a movie all about her. She's in every scene, and you know, you don't judge her. And, you know, she's a great actor. And it's a shame that she isn't being given more, you know, to do.
Yeah, I mean, and we've loved her since 6 Feet Under, when we saw her years ago, like probably about 10 years ago. She was exceptional. Yeah. As that character.
I mean, other than kind of a small kind of cameo here and there, I don't really know her other than 6 Feet Under. And I feel like I know her very well from that show, which is terrific. I thought she did an excellent job there. And we kind of watched her grow up in acting, because I think she was kind of late teens when that show started, and it ran for 5 or 6 years. I felt that she was very similar to the 6 Feet Under character here. So
grown up.
I don't know whether that was, you know, it's probably a large part of why she was cast for this, but I haven't seen much range from her. That's not to say I didn't enjoy what she did here, because I think she did a fantastic job, but it just felt like it was a very happy hippie image, which was very much what she was in 6 Feet Under.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an absolute shame that that movie I saw, it's called Think of Me, which has, you know, hasn't found theatrical distribution there, because she plays this really down on her luck woman who is, you know, at the absolute lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder, living in, you know, Las Vegas, who's trying to make a living with her daughter, you know, and it's just devastating and heartbreaking. It's a very different kind of Lauren Ambrose. And you never for a moment not believe her. And even if she makes that one horrible decision that no woman should ever make. You understand where she's coming from. So I think she has tremendous range and tremendous depth, and she just needs to be given an opportunity. But anyway.
The person I really liked was James Rebhorn, who plays Matt's father. I mean, I loved him. He's one of my favorite characters in The Talented Mr. Ripley. And for those of our listeners who don't know, The Talented Mr. Ripley is one of my watch again movies all the time. Like, I watch it all the time and never get bored of it. So I loved seeing James Rebhorn. Come in more movies, please.
And Carol Kane, who plays his mom. I haven't
seen her. She was funny. She made me laugh.
Yeah, she was great.
They were really good characters. Yeah. All right, anything more to say on this one, or shall we wrap this up?
Yep, we don't want Yazdi to be late, so let's wrap it up.
Joe.
I don't think I need to say anything more here. I mean, the journey that the character took, we took with him. I think there was wisdom in that journey, wisdom that was gained from painful experience. He shares that in the movie and made it very intimate. There's comedy here too, but I think too much of it came from self-depreciation. So I found myself not wanting to laugh as much as I think he wanted me to, which is kind of bizarre. I had so much empathy. Again, I had just a lovely time watching this film. I'm going to give this 8 out of 10.
Yes, Dee.
I'll keep it short. I think this movie is a shining example of what is right with cinema right now. This is the kind of movies that people should be making, and these is the kind of movies that we should all be watching. Please go seek this out. You know, unless we do that, these kinds of movies will never get made. So go watch this movie. I'm going to really infuriate Joe by saying this movie, for me, I scored it 7.75 out of 8. 7.75 out of 10. So
I'm just rounding it, Yazdi. 8.
Yes.
Yazdi gave it an 8.
So don't sleepwalk to this. Walk fast. Hell run. You'll enjoy what you see. 8 out of 10.
You know, Yazdi, you need an analog scale. I think digits.
So I told you zeros and ones.
No, well, no, not binary. Analog. You know, the one with kind of infinitesimal gradations, and nothing quite fits between discrete numbers.
At least I didn't love it. I love it. I love it this week, and I hate it. I hate it. I hate it.
You know, it's funny. I think I'm in too good a mood because this is the end of a marathon recording session. I don't think I've given anything lower than the 7. So either we're getting to that time of year,
yeah,
or I'm just in a happy place.
Yeah, and I'm going to feed you your favorite meal.
I'm in a happy place.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Maybe I'm not in a happy place, and that's why I like all these movies so much. But whatever it is, I really have been enjoying almost every movie I've watched for a long time now.
Yes,
but I didn't see Lawless, so that didn't break my...
We always say, I think the good stuff's coming out now, and I'm so excited to hear some of the feedback you're going to give from Toronto. I don't even know if we've even seen Oscar contenders yet. You know, I know we've all had our personal favorites, Killer Joe, Killer Joe, Killer Joe. But, you know, I'm really excited to see what you're going to tell us.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and you know, I'm glad I've got tickets to watch The Sessions, which got a lot of buzz for Helen Hunt and gosh, I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. The guy from Martha Marcy May Marlene, John Hawkes.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch a movie called Arthur Newman with Emily Blunt and Colin Firth. I'm going to watch an adaptation of Great Expectations with amazing star cast, Helena Bonham Carter, Ralph Fiennes. Gonna see a movie with called Thank You for Sharing with Mark Ruffalo and Gwyneth Paltrow. So there's all kinds of movies, and then there's a lot smaller movies, foreign films. So gosh, it's like being
a Bollywood theme as well. So I'm excited again to see what you bring. You're probably the right person to mediate that for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Well, do keep us posted on Facebook and the website. We'll try and maybe Skype you in if we get a chance during Toronto. So do keep your eyes peeled.
Represent.
Do keep us abreast of what's going on at Toronto. All right. Until our next episode. Too many movies, too little time. Good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.
And Yazdi's going to make it in time for his appointment. Yay.
Blood pressure has gone down.